Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete. Welcome back.
Thank you. I apologize for my tardiness.
Well, you've been sick. No need for apologies. You're feeling better?
Yeah, totally. totally good. Better. The lingering stupid cough, but overall, just fine. So glad to be moving on from that nonsense.
We are back.
Yes. And so we are, do you know what happens when you do a show on overtalking and ADHD?
You overtalk and you have ADHD still?
Are you? Did you just accuse me of overtalking and having ADHD? You know I have issues with that. Judgment. No, you get a lot of feedback. You get a lot of feedback and it stimulates a lot of conversation in all the channels. And so I'm really excited that we have this opportunity to do some feedback because we got some great feedback from people who have written and shared their stories of both overtalking, how they like to be spoken to when they are overtalking, how you can gently steer and guide others, and how you like to be guided yourself in these situations. So I think that's very exciting.
I am excited to dig into some of these thoughts.
We haven't done just a straight up feedback show in a long time. Might as well do it today.
That's right.
Before we do, head over to takecontroladhd.com, get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to the mailing list right there on the homepage, and we will send you an email each time a new episode is released. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest at Take Control ADHD. But if you really want to connect with us, join us on the ADHD Discord community. Super easy to jump in the general community right there in that chat channel. All you have to do is visit takecontroladhd.com/Discord and you'll be whisked over to the general invitation and log in. But if you're looking for more, particularly if this show has ever touched you or helped you understand your relationship with ADHD in a new way, we invite you to support the show directly through Patreon. Patreon is listener-supported podcasting. With a few dollars a month, you can help guarantee that we continue to grow the show, add new features, and invest more heavily in our community. Visit patreon.com/theADHDpodcast to learn more.
Let's do the show.
All right, everybody. A few weeks ago, we had this question.
The question came from me.
Yeah, right. It came from you and we posted it to others. I think it was as a result of the conversation that we had on the podcast.
Yes. Cause I wanted to know more about how people felt, when someone said, I think you're talking too much, or how do you want to be, aware that maybe you're talking too much or going into too much detail? Cause I wanted to know more. Get more feedback from our listeners on how to deal with this. I think when you're both the talker and the receiving end of being talked to.
Mm-hmm. I think those are listeners.
Yeah, you're right. That's another way to
There's
put
so
it.
Many, we have a lot of choices with how we frame certain concepts.
It's true.
So
they're the listeners.
They're listeners. They're speakers and listeners. And the talking, I've been incredibly hypersensitive about this. Over the last 2 weeks, I haven't been speaking a lot because I've been sick, but the just the nature of having had this conversation has given me and my anxiety a lot to think about. And so whenever I open my mouth with anybody, I'm constantly thinking I should shut up now, which means as a result, I think I've spoken less in the last 2 weeks than I would have. And probably miss some opportunities to have good conversations as a result, which is, it's just an interesting thing. Like that sense of words. Don't worry, Nikki. Don't worry. That will wear off. Like
Thank you.
I'll be back to normal in no time. So we got
because this is not about changing who you are. I mean, we don't want people to think. I don't want people to walk away thinking the way that you just described.
Right. It's hard not to.
Right. Because I mean, it is hard not to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to think you have to change.
Because
you don't. You don't, Pete, and neither do our listeners.
No, because that's absolutely true. But what we do have is some subtle thoughts, insights, and requests on how to handle the overtalking thing. And so how do you, like, we have these broken up in areas. How would you like to approach these?
How about we just, each one each person takes a comment and we can talk about it. So I can go first.
Why don't you go first?
Yeah. So this comment says they, in their household, they use the word squirrel as a shortcut to say this conversation is too much, or I'm sorry, but I'm no longer listening, or this tangent needs to be wrapped up to refocus. My husband and I both use it on each other. We both understand it's about the other person having reached their info threshold. Neither of us get offended. So a couple of things there I wanted to say and point out, first of all, is great communication between this person and their husband, mm-hmm. because I think it's awesome that you guys both can see, okay, this is an issue for both of us. We're not going to take it personally. All we have to do is say this word and we kind of know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So just not only, just not even about the talking too much, but just that they have this like communication between them on how to help each other. Mm-hmm. That's great. I just think that's a really positive thing.
Yeah. And it sounds like this one is really about talking to each other. And some of the, mm-hmm. these other, you know, suggestions and thoughts are about talking in a group or in public, or, you know, having somebody help you when they notice you're talking too much. This one in particular, I like a lot because, and I really resonate with it because when I go into fireworks brain, there's only so much I can take, whether or not my wife is, you know, over talking or just kind of doing a core dump on me. I feel like it's something for me to be able to say that's nice and non-judgmental in a way that says I've reached capacity. I have mm-hmm. to take a break. We can come back, but right now I have to take a break. I think that's really lovely. We have mm-hmm. The next one. It's helpful to have someone who can give your hand a squeeze or give a wink or a code word. It feels good to have a partner to help steer you away from the potential social anxiety shame spiral that comes with over-talking. An over-talking safe word. Who knew?
Who knew? Mm-hmm. But what a great idea in a social situation, though. Like, if you know that this is a habit or something that you are concerned about, and again, your partner is working with you and not making you feel bad about mm-hmm. it, right? I can totally see my husband like squeezing my hand. Like, I may not talk too much, but I talk loud. Mm-hmm. So he might be like squeezing my hand just to tell me that I am too loud.
Does he have a code word? What's your husband's code word?
He doesn't have one.
Well, this is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's make it asparagus. He probably likes asparagus. That's probably a problem. All right. Well, we're going to brainstorm mm-hmm. on this. We'll noodle this. Okay. We'll come back for a code word you guys can use together.
Okay.
And that's it. I think the big problem with this one for me is the social anxiety shame spiral. But this is self-imposed. You know, for me, I usually am really good about making myself feel bad about something like this. And mm-hmm. you know, I think that takes mindfulness and practice and, you know,
not being so hard on yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because that's again, okay, going back to what we just said before we even started these quotes is, you know, not wanting, we're not saying we should change. And we also don't want you to feel bad about talking because you are probably your worst critic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important is that what you think people are thinking is probably really what they're not thinking. But we kind of can, with our anxieties, we kind of make up the worst case scenario.
Right.
And so keeping that in check.
And here we're saying out loud, don't change. Don't go changing. Right. And yet some of this guidance is here are tools to help you change a little bit. Like in the moment, right now, help you change to save you embarrassment, to save you whatever.
Right.
So this is that kind of catch 22 of change, mm-hmm. no change. Change without changing. Mm-hmm. Change, don't change.
Without shame, without embarrassment, shame, without feeling like you're doing something wrong.
And I think this goes back to just setting up the standard beforehand, not like in the moment when everybody starts noticing and getting frustrated and you don't notice yourself, like saying, hey, partner, this is what I need from you in social situations. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to accept it with grace and understanding for you to say or squeeze or whatever to make me. To mm-hmm. help me understand my place in that social dynamic if I'm not understanding it.
Yeah.
Set it up beforehand.
So here's another suggestion that is very good. When I'm in a group and I feel like I have said too much or I'm getting too excitable and want to say all the things, I sit on my hands. It's a physical reminder that gives me even just the briefest moment to remember that other people are interesting too. That's great.
Yeah.
Sit on my hands. What a nice physical thing to do to kind of just keep yourself grounded.
Okay. So remember, these physical tricks I think are really handy. When my dad quit smoking, he was a rubber band guy, right? Are you familiar with the rubber band people? Rubber band people. Have you ever been a rubber band person yourself?
Well, don't they like change, like to pause for a moment or something like that?
Yeah, you take a big rubber band, you wrap it a few times around your neck until you can't. No, you put it on your wrist.
I was like, what are you talking about?
You put it on your wrist. And for him, every time he wanted a cigarette, he would just snap it, right? He would snap it on his wrist and it would give him that.
And didn't he eat a lot of Butterfingers too?
So many Butterfingers. He gained like 40 pounds and had to go back to the same quit center and use the rubber band against Butterfingers then. This is a grotesque story that'll be for later in the after show. So, okay. Make sure you sign up. Become a member because you can hear the goods in the after show. I'm not completely familiar with the stimulus response that the rubber band in particular is supposed to do. But I know that it's like when you have a craving, for him, he would snap the rubber band and that slight shock of a little bit of pain would be the reminder and enough of a distraction that he would be able to change context or change gears or distract himself enough and remind himself that smoking is a bad thing for him. And so that's how he handled it. There is something about changing your physical context in such a way that reminds you about a behavior that you're trying to change in yourself. And so I don't know that I'm necessarily a big proponent of the rubber band plan. I'd probably need to review a little bit more about it. The only one thing I remember is it felt like a punishment when I was watching my dad do it, and I don't care for that.
Right.
But I do love the idea of changing something physically about your state to remind you.
Well, and what comes to my mind is not so much the rubber band theory, but I can see if you're in a social situation and maybe you can't sit down because you can't, you know, you're standing, is to have some kind of fidget like in your pocket, right? Because that could also be sort of a reminder of like holding on to something as you're waiting to speak. So just another kind of physical thing that, okay, I'm going to hold on to this little rock or this little thing that I've got in my pocket. And that's also kind of the reminder of that give and take of passing the ball, right? That we talked about in the original show, of who's talking and who's listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Number four, I give people permission to stop me if they feel I've drifted and they're not following or interested. This usually saves me and them a lot of embarrassment and discomfort. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think especially with people that you know really well and that you love and trust and you know, I can totally see my one of my family members saying, hey, okay, if I'm getting too long-winded, let me know. Like, I think that's a great thing to do, is to give that other person a permission to say, okay, I understand those details. Where are we heading? Whatever, without being mean or feeling judged about it. Well, so I like it.
I do. A lot of these are super useful in specific contexts. This one I struggle with coming out of a big social context where I normally would be like with a bunch of people. Who's with
right, I see it
anymore.
Mean but more one-on-one.
Yeah, like one-on-one, like with closer
with someone that you're really close with.
I wouldn't go into a, you know, a party where I don't know very many people and say, hey, stop me when I start over-talking.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely more of that one-on-one people that know you really well and get it and understand why you're saying it in the first place.
Let's talk about talking too much, though.
Yeah, this is a trigger. And this is what this says. The phrase talking too much seems to be the trigger. So we want to be careful on how we phrase it with other people. And I think this is true. I mean, this is definitely where people get defensive. And I had gotten another comment from a listener saying that, you know, they still remember a time where someone told them that they were talking too much, or I think they said babbling too much, and that really hurt them.
Oh, that's the worst word.
Yeah, when they were saying that. So I do think you know, this is that from the listener's point of view, we do want to be very careful that we just don't say, oh my gosh, really? Here you go again, you know, or making that person feel bad. So this was interesting. They had an example of if you're getting too many details that aren't relevant to the bigger picture, it may be, or it may help to interrupt and let the other person know you're receiving too many extra details and it's becoming hard to follow the main plot of the story, which you very much want to hear and understand. That's a lot of words to say to someone and to remember to say to someone. But I think that, you know, where I take this is that, okay, I'm listening to something and they're kind of going into more detail. I could see myself maybe asking a question, like to kind of stop them from going into the detail and redirecting them to, oh, okay, so that makes sense that, you know, you're at the dog park and you're having this conversation with this person. But what happened to the dog? Like, you know, kind of redirecting them to whatever the story was.
Yeah.
Instead of the details of the dog owner, we're going back to, oh, so the dogs got along.
Yeah. Which happens
so maybe just
all the time in my
asking.
Stories. Like I'll, you know, if I'm really getting into the story, sometimes the drama gets ahead of me and I forget the dog.
Right.
Don't forget the dog.
And all the details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take a step back because you use the word babbling, and I want to just reflect on that because I have such an immediate negative reaction to that word.
Well, and that's the word that the listener used, and So where is that coming from? Talk about that.
I don't know. It's just such a shame loaded word to me. Like I can't get to the other side of it. It's like because it's different. That to me is different than over talking because it's a word somebody would weaponize and use against you, or you're using it about yourself,
right?
Because it has been weaponized against you before.
Because it almost insinuates that what you're saying doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or it's not important.
Yes. You might as well just be making sound. Like you might as well just be making syllables.
Yeah. No, that's a really good distinction. And that's probably why it hurt that person as much as it did, is because it felt, you know, not only are you hurt that they're saying something about it, but you're offended too because you don't feel heard.
Yeah.
And we want to be heard.
We want to be heard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Suggestions for kids and families.
So the first tip here that we received from, one of our listeners is that ball, that tossing that ball thing. And I love this idea. So this is somebody that they were saying that, you know, you have that ball that represents a nonverbal cue that they're talking too much or the act of shifting their focus. So I think, you know, especially if you have young kids and you're at the dinner table and you're trying to kind of figure out, you know, everybody, you want everyone to have a voice and be able to be, have that time to talk.
Right.
I think it's cool. Like here, okay, you've got the potato right now, the shock potato right now.
Yeah. As soon as it shocks you, you have to stop talking.
Right. And now it's your sister's turn and now it's your dad's turn. And so it kind of helps maybe curb that a little bit.
I have another bit of a sidebar. Do you mind?
Yeah.
On this, really, do you see? So in the video, if you're a member live chat, you would see this. Do you see what this is?
I see it. I don't know what it is.
So this is a top, a spinning top, right?
Top.
And
okay,
the design of this top is identical to the top that Leonardo DiCaprio used in Inception, the movie Inception.
Okay.
And he used it as a thing where if he spins the top and it falls over, he knows that he's in the real world. And if he spins it and it doesn't fall over, then he knows that he's in a dream. You know, that's what Inception was all about. It was this crazy dream thing. So we used to have a thing in college when I was in a group and we had a spinning top that we would spin. And as soon as the top was over, you had to finish your point, like you were done. And your point was only as good as your ability to spin this top. And sometimes you might have a minute. Sometimes you'd have 5 seconds and you're done. Like that was the rule. So I was so excited to find this top because this top, the Inception top, this one in particular has a little gyroscope in it and it will never stop spinning. It is a battery powered little gyro that spins. And so I have it in my office so that I get to use it and then I can talk forever.
Of course.
Anyway, that's a total sidebar. But yeah. it is one of those things, like the spinning top thing is a neat trick for like families. If you struggle with this, if there are multiple people in the family who struggle with over-talking and you spin it, your time is impacted. And if everybody agrees on the rule set, that's a nice way to kind of build in a culture of learning to make your points more quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Well, and this last tip, I think, which is pretty cool, is take time practicing appropriate conversations and conversation lengths. Try using conversation cards as prompts to use in practice. So, it's easier to practice a situation, you know, with a child and explain kind of what you've observed. But I think it's also like, it's a family thing. So everyone is doing it. It's not just on the child, right? Like everybody has a conversation card. We're all have like 2 minutes to talk about this. Again, it's like all of these ideas that we've talked about is putting a limit on it and getting them, comfortable with that time and being able to be more concise, but it's a whole family affair. I don't think it's, you know, we don't want to point anybody out either.
No, we really don't. I think that's where it gets dangerous. The rules that are applied in a microculture like a family have to be applied evenly, right?
Right.
Like that's what it is. And I think that's what makes the culture whole and healthy. And
yes,
it's okay to acknowledge that the rules end up affecting everybody differently, whether you're living with ADHD, some degree of ADHD on the spectrum, or not.
Right,
but it's even. Like it's
absolutely
fair.
It's all about communication.
Yeah,
right. So one last idea that came through from one of my Coaching with Nikki sessions last month. We were talking about this topic and some of the frustrations that people were feeling. And this idea or this suggestion actually came up with using Jenga. Remember that, that building the blocks thing, and you try to build it as high as you can. So what you do is you stick conversation starters on each block and set it up as normal. And then you explain to the family ahead of time that everyone will get a turn going around the table to choose a block from the tower, and everyone gets a chance to talk on their turn. And then Jenga at the dinner table, you know, it may not be for everyone, right? Because I know a lot of times we say no phones, no games, whatever. But it could be kind of a fun thing to do every once in a while is to, you know, get Jenga out, put some conversation starters and make it a fun thing, a fun game. So not only are you communicating with your family more, which is awesome, but you're learning, you know, great communication skills by keeping things more concise, and it's fun.
And the
it's
deal fun. Is you have to pack a bag. Everybody brings a bag. And if you lose Jenga, you have to leave the family and move out. That's it.
No,
that's
Pete.
What?
No.
Then why do we play games if the stakes aren't there?
That is not what we do. You maybe make them be the ones that like cut up
they have to clean
or something.
They have to do the dishes. Somebody who loses Jenga has to do the
dishes. They don't have to leave. No.
They have to move out.
All right. So that's it. If you guys have any other suggestions or comments, you know, please bring them to our attention. Go into Discord. We have lots of different channels to chat about these kinds of topics and other things too. So come check us out.
So much more. Thank you everybody for downloading and listening. This was a short show. This is a quickie.
Yeah.
We did good.
Yeah.
This is like old school. ADHD podcast.
That's right.
We sure appreciate all of you for downloading and listening to this show. Thank you for your time and your attention. Don't forget, if you have something to contribute, head over to the Show Talk channel. That's where we're going to be. All you have to do is become a patron at the deluxe level or higher. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer and all the proud ADHD over talkers everywhere, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD podcast.